Okay, I'd like to call the Academic Development Committee to order at this time. Today is May 10th, 1999, and we have two house bills. I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2247, right? Yeah. Okay, who is going to testify? Okay, I'd like to call at this time Greg Smith, Board of Murrow. Greg here? Okay, you are the first one assigned up, so we'll give you the first chance.
What are we doing here?
Thank you, please. Welcome again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Looks like you're happy.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a beautiful day for Oregon this morning. The sun is shining.
Okay.
It's going to be a warm day.
We do not want to hear about sun shining here in the valley, okay? Do you understand? That really does damage to your bill.
Look outside. Look outside.
Greg, sounds like you are smart even brighter than the sunshine. Okay. Welcome again, and please state your name.
My name is Greg Smith, and I work for the Port of Morrow. I know that Senator Nelson and Senator Ferrioli are on their way, and we'll be here soon to speak along with Representative Bob Jensen. I truly appreciate having the opportunity to come before you today and express my appreciation and support of the proposed amendments to House Bill 2247. Port of Morrow believes that by allowing the Director of Economic Development to change the boundary of an enterprise zone under special circumstances, it will be a tremendous benefit to Eastern Oregon, especially with our large rural areas. This amendment will allow rural communities to attract industry, to create jobs, and probably most important, it's going to allow for those greater efficiencies administratively that we were talking about the last time we met throughout all of Eastern Oregon. Chairman Lim, the Port of Morrow definitely appreciates the fact that you're allowing us to consider this at this late date and time. We believe that the consensus that we reached with the Oregon Economic Development Department will work well for rural Eastern Oregon and for rural Oregon, and we ask that you will help us with this and support the amendments to House Bill 2247.
Well, I'm glad you worked out pretty good.
Thank you
very much. Any questions? Yes.
Where is rural Oregon?
Good thing my representative can help.
Just remember that rural is only one syllable. Rural.
This one? Okay, Representative Jensen. Welcome. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Chairman Lim. I appreciate the opportunity to be here to speak to this August group for this particular bill.
August? Did you say August? That's another term we don't use in this.
We don't use that.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
I think it's important that you note that Senator Corcoran is also here.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Duncan, Mr. Chair, for that.
If you can stop the senior chatter now and get on with the bill, that would be wonderful.
He's one of the lively committee members.
Ah, that's good. I think that the witness you just had explained the nature of the bill and the nature of the problem and the issue. Hepner lost the Kindu mill just a few weeks ago, and that loss was devastating to a small community with now no steady payroll. And in order to try to be able to deal with that, they were looking, or they are looking for some way to get inclusion into the enterprise zone. And the amendment that you had is specifically for that particular purpose, and I encourage you to look favorably at that amendment. And I'd answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much, Representative. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Ben Boswell from Walla Walla County.
I didn't realize anybody was out of state here, but it was, we would have been on better decorum if I had known that.
Okay, Ben.
Chairman Lynn, the members of the committee, thank you for, I am Ben Boswell, Chairman of the Board of Commissioners of Wallowa County. And I want to assure Senator Corcoran that it's probably snowing in Wallowa County, if that makes you feel any better.
I feel a hell of a lot better.
It does almost every day this spring.
What?
I can say that without even being there.
Yeah, I believe you, sir.
And we love every minute of it, because every bit of moisture is a blessing in our neck of the woods. Chairman Lynn and members of the committee, I do appreciate the opportunity to speak in favor of this bill and also in favor of the amendment. Several years ago, we took a look at an enterprise zone and found out that we couldn't apply because of the distance requirements, so we would certainly favor the waiver of that. In our community, we consider Wallowa County the community, and so especially our metropolitan areas, we'd have to put them all four together in order to attain the critical mass to have an enterprise zone. And so we would appreciate this opportunity. And in terms of the director granting the waiver, we would like to suggest that he fails to grant that waiver, if he should do so from within the confines of the county where he makes that decision. Just bring that, make that decision a little more personal. Mm-hmm. But I do appreciate the opportunity with our unemployment rate standing at 14% right now. It's obvious that our community is one of those, along with Grant County and Lake County, that that need to put all the economic development tools in our toolbox, and would certainly appreciate the opportunity to add this one and give us a chance to share in the economic benefits that the state now enjoys.
Thank you. Yes. And it's appropriate. Can you talk a little bit about what you would view as the use of the enterprise zone, what you would be looking at in terms of, I have North Douglas County and Rural Lane, which is not quite the same level of unemployment, but certainly higher than the rest of the valley, and wonder sometimes, you know, ultimately what we're going to do in Central and Eastern and parts of Southern Oregon to bolster. What do you see out there?
Thank you, Chair Lynn. Senator Corcoran, it has been suggested that by those who do not live in what I would call rural Oregon, what we should do. We, in fact, in Wallowa County have a strategic plan. We have a pretty good idea how we would use our industrial sites. Almost every community has an abandoned mill site, many of them with environmental problems, cleanup problems. But we would hope to develop those sites to attract what we would call appropriate industries. We don't want to ever put all our eggs in one economic basket. We would be happy with employers to bring 10 to 20 employee jobs to our community. It's been suggested that we do cottage industry. Well, I believe 24%, according to a recent Oregon State study, indicates that the primary providers are sole proprietors of their own businesses. We've already done the cottage industry thing. Now we need some kind of incentive for small business, and so that's how we would use it to attract what we consider to be appropriate assembly-type industries.
Thank you. Okay. Senator Duncan?
I'm just curious what the impact has been of the arts and the sculpture and so forth impact in the Joseph.
Yes, Chair Lim, Senator Duncan, the art industry has been a tremendous positive impact to the community. We find that we have just the young people that grow up in our community learning to work with their hands are very good artisans as they assemble that artwork. There are actually three foundries in the county now spread among Joseph Enterprise. And while it's been an important, kind of build up another leg of that stool, it hasn't yet replaced the primary industries of timber and agriculture. And right now, of course, those two industries are hurting. We suffered some shift layoffs at the mills they're running this past week. And so although our permanent unemployment rate is 14%, the effective rate is higher than that, and even the art industry, to get back to your question, shows some slowdowns occasionally, and those employees are laid off. So it's been a very welcome benefit to our economy, and certainly those that make the money are those that buy and sell the artwork. But it has had some residual effect on many second jobs, where a single job used to support a family. Now the second wage earner is working in the art industry to support the family.
Jerry, it's very impressive to
visit.
Really.
Thank you. Another question? Yes.
Thank you very much. I was just trying to comment that I had the opportunity to visit last December one of the foundries that you speak of, and if you named all three of them, I would be able to tell you which one it was. But you're right. It's just so impressive. And just to know that that's coming out of Oregon, first of all,
it
makes you feel very proud. And it left me wondering how many people really appreciate the treasure. It's like a secret, a little known secret that you wish more and more people could be aware of. Very impressive.
Thank you, Sherilyn, Senator Gorley. Thank you very much. We probably don't appreciate all that we do enjoy, because we've still got some of those real nagging problems, and we don't see them. But the quality work is definitely recognized, and artists from all over the world come to this friendly community. That's what they seem to like the most about living there and supervising their work, which they don't get to do in other foundries, I understand.
That certainly explains the friendliness as well. That was definitely a plus.
We train everybody to be friendly. We've been accused of that.
Any other questions? If not, I would just want to thank you again for driving all the way down more than 100 miles to testify.
Certainly.
Thank you. For us, I guess we have a esteemed senator here, Senator Nelson.
Oh, my gracious.
Is that
esteemed or esteemed?
I have a break coming up right now.
It's not funny for the Senate committee, is it?
Esteemed and esteemed.
No, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Malthus, State Senator living in Pendleton, but I represent the counties of Wallowa, Union, Umatilla, and the north portion of Morrill County. And I understand we're here on 2247, the Dastrey Amendments. Is that what I'm talking to?
Sure.
And I appreciate that opportunity. I've come here in support of those amendments. I think you heard Commissioner Boswell talking about that. I know that Greg Smith from Morrill County. And I think the reason I like these amendments is because there's some flexibility in these things. As you probably can tell from the testimony, the conditions in Wallowa County are probably going to be different than the conditions in Morrill County. And I think you can probably make that generalization throughout the state of Eastern Oregon. State of Eastern Oregon? Throughout Eastern Oregon, excuse me. I'll probably like that. I guess the situation in Morrill County is such that we had a lumber mill closed in Heppner, which is, probably 25 or 30 miles away from, or maybe 40 miles, or maybe 50 miles, I don't even really know, because I don't get down there, it's not in my district, but it's they lost about 100 jobs with the Kinju Mill closing. So this idea of an enterprise zone to try and do something with that is very important to them. And it would be a different situation than you'd see in Wallowa County. And that's, I guess, the gist of my testimony, is that this flexibility, and I think it allows for the different counties, the different enterprise zones that are in existence now, to include those conditions that would make this thing work. Commissioner Boswell was talking about the arts community in Joseph, and it is a very thriving community, but in some respects it's seasonal, because in the wintertime people just don't drive up in that area a lot of times. It would be well on occasion, but I guess you could say that the lumber industry is seasonal too, but the jobs are a lot higher paying, and that has really affected our area substantially. I might get a plug-in for my other bill, my 142. We're talking about economic development. I think a lot of this development is going to be revolving around the development of telecommunications and access to high-speed, high-tech process. That bill is working through the House now, and I understand there's some very good support actually coming out of the governor's office trying to resolve that situation. But I think they're all tied together, and so I'm here in support of that bill, and I would answer any questions you might have.
Okay, thanks, Wilson.
Thank you very much, Jim. Good afternoon, Senator Nelson. Speaking to the mill closure, when did that take place?
Exactly, I'm not sure. It's within the last year. But
mm-hmm. And 100 jobs were...
Right in there. I think it's maybe 95 or...
Can you give us some sense of what the impact has been on the people who held those jobs? Where are they now? What are they doing now? Did any of those folks end up leaving the community? Of those who stayed, have they found other employment? Just give us some sense of what's happening to the people.
I would think of probably Greg Smith from the Port of Morrow would probably be able to.
I should have asked him that question.
From what I understand, the Port of Morrow is trying to develop another industry to come in there to help replace those jobs, and it may not be quite as many jobs, maybe 30 or something in that area. So it would not quite be as much, but they're working to try and do that.
And then the other question I had about the mill closure is what happens to the equipment when a mill closes?
They're either going with an auction in this case, and I think they were trying to keep some of the machinery there. Those details I know Greg would have, but there is a selling off of some of the equipment there. As I understand it, some of the equipment they want to stay there because they felt it was essential for the next enterprise that might come into that area.
Mr. Chair, I seem to be pretty familiar with this because when the mill closed in Burns, which is right next to it here, and that was devastating for that community, and I don't know what I'll bet you for 10 years probably to come out of that would be my guess. So I look at the economic development people, and it's just a tremendous impact.
They
haven't come out of there. I mean, Oak Ridge, Cottage Grove had 1,100 employees at the mill. They're down to 170 now. They don't get those jobs, don't materialize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. I appreciate your concern, and thank you.
Okay. I hope it will disappear. Hopefully, you might be able to bring down the 14% unemployment in Morrow County, Nevada. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Senator Ferrioli.
Chairman, thank you very much. For the record, my name is Ted Ferrioli. I'm State Senator from Senate District 28. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'd like to offer my support for the concept of the new enterprise zones in Oregon. I think it's a very necessary tool for economic development in rural and distressed communities. And furthermore, I would urge you to take a look at the proposed amendments to the Engross House bill, which would allow more flexibility in designating enterprise zones by a case-by-case waiver of the distance requirements. And in the case of the mill closure in Heppner, the nearest enterprise zone, obviously, the Port District would be the most serviceable tool in the county for allowing redevelopment of the site. And redevelopment is the objective, either as another secondary wood products manufacturing opportunity, which is possible, and I think that's what some of the retention of the equipment was designed to do, or redesignation as a site that has light industrial and industrial zoning that could be used to attract another manufacturer, maybe a different product. And that, Mr. Chairman, is what Senator Duncan was referring to in the Burns area, where in Hines the mill closed, and it actually closed several times. The mill was closed and reformed under another company, operated for several years, reformed as another company yet. So Burns went through two or three different permutations before Snow Mountain Pine finally was the last operator. And there are still wood products being developed and marketed and manufactured in Burns. As a matter of fact, the laminated bean plant now is growing and has had new investment. So there are some other opportunities there, and they can go as the markets change. All that notwithstanding, this boundary change that we would be looking for on House Bill 2247, the A3 amendments, would offer some flexibility so that the enterprise zone could be designated in such a way as to really assist the community in redevelopment of that mill site. So I speak in support of designation of new zones and in support of the amendment that would allow some flexibility to waive the distance requirements so that we could do some good for the folks in Hefner on redevelopment. Mr. Chairman, to Senator Gordley's earlier question, I think 30 to 60 of those jobs actually ended up moving to Pilot Rock. Mm-hmm. And the rest, they were simply not able to accommodate the employees. And there are probably about 100 family wage jobs have left the area because of that inability to get materials from the Federal Forest Service.
Okay. Chair Duncan,
I guess I just missed the opportunity to show a little impact. We talked about the economics, but look at the impact on the Hepner school, and then the impact on Pilot Rock, as you were saying, that these movements go on. It really does create far-reaching.
Well, Mr. Chairman, these dislocations have many unintended consequences, as Senator Corcoran can attest. One of the problems that we have is, yes, the county loses tax base in the city, potentially, and yes, the community no longer has the multiplier effect of the payroll being reinvested in the local service and supply jobs, and yes, the mill no longer will buy the tires, batteries, and accessories and services that they would buy from the industrial suppliers, including computer programming and accounting and all sorts of white-collar services that kept that manufacturing facility served. And yes, the county loses road funds and the school loses school funds, and those dollars are made up by the generosity of taxpayers on the I-5 corridor in Portland and Metro Oregon. And so it's the unintended consequences are whenever we disempower the rural communities or the distressed communities, somebody else pays. And that somebody else at the present time of the six counties in Oregon that have a fairly low unemployment rate and fairly high value-added employment opportunity. The folks in the rural and distressed communities would rather not have to accept that generosity. They'd rather carry their own water and make their own way. And the Enterprise Zone is an opportunity and a tool to help them do just that.
Okay. Any other questions? It's not us. It's Florida. Very early, as we discussed before, that the state economic policy, we are moving into more flexibility and also the bottom-up policy instead of the top-down, and then community solution team together. I think we are moving into the right direction, so we are glad that we were able to accommodate even any small county, which has a different ideas and visions. I think we need to accommodate that. I think with that the Amendment 3, I think at least we'll be able to get them started in that way.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lim, if it's not become apparent to members of the committee, and perhaps it's more obvious to members of the committee, and it should become obvious to the members of the body, the Senate and the House, as we go through this process, that this committee is one that will make a huge difference for rural and distressed communities. And if we are able to bring the agenda to closure, that empowers some changes to our economic development divisions, refocusing the effort, and then putting some economic horsepower into the program that does focus on the ground level and focuses on the community for objectives, for targeting, for planning, and then for moving forward. This committee could be a key player in the revitalization of rural and distressed communities throughout the state. So it's very important work that you're doing, and I really appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to call the Michael. Thank you so much for your patience in waiting. And then could you give us what other the changes are and also your view on those?
Chairman Lynn, members of the committee, thank you for inviting me to the testimony there. for allowing me to come to the testimony. For the record, I'm Mike Burton, Assistant Director of the Oregon Economic Development Department. I can add very little to the testimony I've already heard. I've heard a lot of arguments that make sense to me and that that I find compelling in support of the bill and the DAS 3 amendments. Basically, the DAS 3 amendments would recognize the existence of exceptional cases, Hefner being one, Hefner and its relationship with the Port of Moore, but there are others. Still, while there are more than one, there are exceptions, and this amendment would allow the department to deal with it on an exceptional basis rather than changing the rules itself for the entire state. So the department supports the amendments as represented in the DAS 3, and we'll be happy to answer further questions.
Any questions? Senator Copeland?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just hope that this bill makes it over to the other side, that you acquaint them with the 50-mile radius map, because I think that would, the unintended consequence of that would be to make it even more difficult for economic development in some of the targeted places that are really going to need help. So that visual that Senator Cordley has to see really solidified in my mind that it made more sense to give latitude. Nobody's complaining about OEDD's performance in this whole thing, so why not give them latitude to do that?
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any other person like to testify on House Bill 2247? If not, we will close our public hearing on House Bill 2247. And I'm going to walk or open. Okay, yes. Okay, before we go to the work session, since representatives are mostly here, maybe we should. Representative, the commonwealth give us the, I'd like to open a public hearing, House Bill 2968. Thank you very much for waiting so long at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if it would please the Chair, I'd be quite happy to have the Lottery Commission
yes.
at the same time.
Thank you.
Oh, Senator Lynn's not going to like this one at all.
We'll see. Maybe you don't. before we go on, Karen, could you give us what the Senate 2968 is? That's just a brief description.
Mr. Chair, members of the case, House Bill 2968, the engrossed version, comes to this committee. It requires the Oregon State Lottery to provide disclaimers on lottery tickets that state the odds of winning the prize, the approximate payout percentage that is returned in the form of a prize, and a statement that lottery games are based on chance. Should not be paid for investment purposes, but as entertainment only. It goes further and establishes disclaimer requirements for various media forms as well. And it excludes from the requirement of a disclaimer those lottery advertisements that are purchased for the sole purpose of educating the public for gambling treatment programs and problems such as that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Who's going to go first? Yes.
Mr. Chair, thank you. This bill came from the underlying philosophy that as a state is involved in gambling, it should try to provide every possible opportunity for its citizens who are participating to have a clear sense of the statistics, if you will, about the games they are playing. And also a reminder that the lottery really is about entertainment.
And excuse me, and for the record, could you give us your
name? Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jeff Merkley, representing District 16 in Oregon. Thank you. We had an initial draft bill that was served before the House Commerce Committee. Numerous issues were raised about how to make this concept workable, and I worked with the representatives of the Lottery Commission to try to resolve those concerns, I think hopefully successfully. And we now have before us the resulting engrossed bill passed forward by the House. And I really don't have a lot more to say about it. I feel that if we help even a few citizens understand better the percent on the games that they're playing,
or remember that the lottery is about entertainment and that there isn't some secret strategy that makes it a good investment strategy, that we will have been as responsible as possible in presenting these games to the public.
Okay, any questions? No? Okay, great.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Chris Lyons. I'm the director of the Oregon Lottery, and joining me today is David Hooper, our public affairs manager. The Oregon Lottery supports the notion of providing its players actual information about our games on both lottery tickets and in our advertising. I believe this is sound public policy. When this bill was introduced earlier, we suggested several amendments to Representative Merkley so that House Bill 2968 would dovetail better with existing statutory requirements for lottery advertisements, as well as accommodating the nuances of our game. Representative Merkley was kind enough to incorporate many of these amendments into the Ian Gross version, which passed out of Representative Hill's Commerce Committee. Statutory history here. ORS 461-220 sub 3 currently requires lottery advertising to disclose the odds of winning some prize in a game. Continuing that principle of providing players straightforward statements of facts about lottery games, this Ian Gross bill would require disclosing the percent of a game sales that is returned to players in the form of prizes, a formula known to our players as the prize payout percentage. Again, the Oregon Lottery supports the notion of providing factual information about our games. Whether or not it's necessary to tell players the additional types and degrees of disclosure contained in the bill is really the heart of the policy question before you today. The lottery is neutral on that question. We really believe these policy questions should be resolved by you. Again, I want to repeat that Representative Merkley was very helpful in accommodating our operational issues, and this is really a policy question
for
you. We're here to answer any questions you
have. Any questions? If not, Dave, do you have anything to add?
Chairman, I believe the testimony is complete.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
There is one more issue I'd like to mention, which is in the course of being debated on the floor, one bit of language was flagged that I think I should flag for your committee. It is on page 2 of the engrossed bill, line 17.
Okay.
This is in subsection 5.
Okay.
And the sentence reads, however, this subsection does not apply to any such advertising that has the sole purpose of educating the public about gambling addiction or other problems. The phrase, or other problems, was meant to be read in context, but several folks thought it should be clarified, and it's my understanding from the commission representatives that the phrase "and available treatments" would satisfactorily replace the phrase "or other problems."
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I could interject, I think that will help. I would suggest instead of the "and" that we use an "or," because sometimes our as will speak to just gambling addiction, and if you replace the "and" with an "or," that gives us a little more flexibility.
We have that read again, Mr. Chair.
Yes, on line 17, replacing the last two words of the sentence, "other problems," with the two words, "available treatments."
Okay. What happens is that if people play this game, not only a few dollars, but they spend hundreds of dollars hoping to win. If they don't win, they spend more to hoping that they might hit some good number. They are paying for, they are investing in the money to get a win. How do we define that?
Senator Lim, I think that your characterization that some people do begin to see it as an investment is accurate, and the mathematics are complicated enough that it's quite easy for people to come to believe that there is a strategy through which one can win, sometimes based on the faulty notion that any number previously hit won't be hit again, and therefore you have kind of increasing odds as you play over time. And statisticians will tell you that each and every game is an independent event in which that is not possible. We really can't do any more than, this is a notion of giving people the mathematical facts in terms of return percentage and odds of receiving any particular prize, giving them maximum facts and kind of a reminder along with the notion that ads often contain the concept that this is fun and good things will be done with this money, and that everything encourages one to play. So this is a little reminder at the end that you should only play as an entertainment, and maybe somewhere there'll be a few people who that will help them get hold of the fact that they may have a gambling problem if they're starting to view this as a way of getting ahead of in life financially or as having an investment strategy.
As we read in the paper, we had a notorious case in the nation secularized to protest the people paying the amount of money, I guess. And I hope this bill, I hope, give them some message, since it's not winning very remote. Do you think this will help them to not to play their word? To me, psychologically, this not going to much effect at all.
Very modest.
Just common sense.
Very modest impact, to be sure. But on the other hand, we can at least say we're trying to do everything we can think of at this point to provide people with information for them to use in discovering that they may have a problem. But the real effect probably would be very modest.
Okay. Do you think we have any... Is there any impact with this being at all?
Mr. Chairman, in terms of sales, frankly, no. I think it's a message that really has more sort of policy implications for you and how you want us to present our message. I really don't think that it will affect sales. Frankly, 97% of Oregonians play responsibly, and the 3% that have problems or are pathological probably aren't going to be affected by this, and they're going to be affected by treatments that maybe will help get to their core issues. I don't think it will affect
sales at all. Okay. Any other questions? Senator Oakland.
Representative Merkley, do you think we would up the odds of people paying attention to this if we change the slogan to the lottery is God's way of showing you that you're bad at math? And let me get your hit while you're here. What's your impression of? I walked into I won't name the store. Pharmacy here that had a automatic ticket machine, and it said didn't say save the schools, but it said, what does it say?
It says helping schools.
Helping schools. I was a little offended at that. I mean, and I know the economics of it, but it kind of irritated the hell out of me. Do you have any hit on that?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Corcoran, my initial thought on this bill was to have a variety of fairly blunt comments that were a bit humorous or in their bluntness caught people's attention. For example, warning that playing the lottery may be dangerous to your financial health. What we have here is a much more generic language that was worked out in the spirit of compromise and compatibility with the Lottery Commission. There are many advertising issues, and you've touched on a whole other sector in your comment that this bill doesn't address.
Okay. Any other questions, Ms. Okay.
Yes.
Senator Walden.
Thank you. Representative Merkley, just for my clarification, did you start with the phrase lottery, that the lottery may be dangerous to your financial health?
Only in my mind, I believe. We went through four versions of this. I can't, I'd have to check and see what the first version was. So. The first phrase we started with lottery games, the purchase of tickets or shares for lottery games is the purchase of entertainment and is not an investment. I started down the track of trying to find workable, more mellow language before the first bill found its way in the print.
Any other questions?
I'd like to say, and it's just been pretty simple, I joined Senator Corcoran in his concern about that. I mean, I realize it does, but there's something that bothers me.
Let me, we're speaking on a subject that is a little from the bill, which is those LEDs. Let me tell you that there are 500 of them out there, and we're going to take them down from the top of those ICVM machines and use them differently in, not in that way to display that information in grocery stores. So you will see over the summer those coming out of the machines. Frankly, the original idea years ago was to, you know, rotate that message and to change it over time. And when we last checked, I think that one message's been up there for a year or so, and we're really not using those as effectively as we should, so we're going to pull them out.
Sure.
Obviously, we won't put it's another ad light out there.
Yeah, I don't, and actually, I don't mind having the automated machine, because one of the most infuriating things to do in Cottage Grove is to go in the Safeway, wait in line, and have the sucker in front of you not only buy tickets, but win, and then cash in. You know darn well you're not going to win if you buy one of those things. I just do it every once in a while to pay taxes indirectly, and I never have a damn chance at all. So it's that hook, you know, that I'm glad you have automated machines.
Well, and they have been, in fact, helpful to retailers in terms of reducing expenses. But I think over time we've learned that particularly our messages about where the money goes and some of these messages that are on billboards and that are just to be read really have to be crafted carefully, not only to appeal to the player and the person who feels good about helping schools, but others who might be offended by those messages. We really do need to think through our messages carefully so that we don't offend people.
Well, obviously, the money doesn't go to David, you know, closure.
It doesn't.
I'm very humble. Thank you.
Do you have any current statute or rules at this time when you make an advertisement that chance of winning? Do you advertise that at all?
Yes, sir. In this statute, and these amendments are added to that statute, those statutes have always required that we put the odds of winning on all of our ads, on all of our tickets. And again, we have just sent a message to our ad agency to make those messages larger on the television because, frankly, I wasn't satisfied that the message was quite large enough. So the statutes do require it, and we put those disclaimers on our ads, and they're also on the ticket.
Okay. Well, it's already there, right?
Yes, sir.
And do you think this will help, or just symbolically, it is just a good public policy to say this?
Representative Merkley, and we've had some very frank conversations about this. I think it's a, more of a public policy issue than it is in terms of really helping. Frankly, I think most people who play understand that these games are for entertainment, and the people who really do have a problem are needing a different kind of help. They're needing treatment. And, you know, you sort of think of this as a warning, and I think that's in your sentence, you think of this as a warning sign on tobacco.
Okay.
And for those of us who smoked for years, stepped right over that and bought ourselves a pack of cigarettes.
Don't put up a sign that's a warning that you already have a cancer. He's the one that
But from a technical perspective, we don't really have any issues with this bill, and the policy issue is really yours.
Okay.
It was very helpful.
All ready? Thank you very much. Okay, is there any other person would like to testify on the House Bill 2968? If not, we will close our public hearing on House Bill 2968. And I'd like to open a work session again. Did I close this public hearing? Okay. I'd like to open a work session, House Bill 2247. And we are looking at the Dash-3 amendment, I think.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash-3 amendment.
Okay. Senator Duncan moves the Dash-3 amendment to the... Yes, that's the Dash-3 amendment, yeah? Okay. Right. Any objections? It's adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2247 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Duncan, let's see, move House Bill 2247 with Dash-3 amendment to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Any discussion? If not, the call the roll.
Senator Corcoran?
Aye.
Senator Duncan?
Aye.
Senator
Gordley?
Aye.
Aye. And the House Bill 2247A, with amendment, has three amendments passed. And then, Senator Duncan, like to...
Yeah, you can be accepting once for that.
Okay. I guess that since you volunteered, then you're going to get it. Okay. Thank you. Then Senator Duncan will carry the House Bill 2247 as amended. And then, with that, there's the one amendment also, right?
Oh, the two words?
Yeah.
On the back?
Yeah. I think I will wait for the amendment.
Certainly.
I think the leader doesn't want any amendment without having that one, so
right.
We'll do it. And any other discussion? If not, I'd like to close, did I close this one? I'd like to close a work session on House Bill 2247. If there's no business, then meeting is adjourned. Okay.
Are you ready for your nap?
Yes. Senator Duncan, thank you.